turn in our Bibles to James chapter 2, and we will consider ourselves no longer in conference. And so I appreciate your good cooperation there. And James chapter 2. I've got a couple of things to take care of at the end of the service, so I am not complaining, but I'll be glad when the pollen lessens and not all these people that are afflicted with allergies are afflicted so bad, and I hope to be in that number. And so, I'm going to try my best. If I get started, I'll be all right. Last Wednesday night, my goodness, it was awful. And I've never had such a hard time, but I've been doing better, and I thank the Lord for that. But like I said, I have so little to, I'm not going to complain about anything because God's been so good to me. And just to be able to get up in the morning, get out of the bed and do anything, we ought to really praise the Lord because, I mean, we might think, well, I don't like this. Whatever, but all you got to do is go to the hospital, go to the nursing home, visit somebody that's lost and their family's tore all to pieces and they have no hope in the world. And really, we have it. We're very blessed. I'm very blessed. And so I praise the Lord for that. And this life, there's going to be afflictions and light afflictions, and there's going to be all kinds of things like that. So we just have to deal with it. But in the book of James, let's begin reading in chapter 2, verse number 21 through verse number 26. And we'll try to finish up this, what we started last time, on the subject of works. Verse number 21, the Bible says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, works, the subject of works is dealt with starting in verse number 14. And two weeks ago, we dealt with verses 14 down through verse number 20. And we started talking about the subject of works. And tonight we'll finish up this section, verse 21 down through verse number 26. But when we talk about being saved, and the subject of being saved is dealt with here in verse number 23, this is talking about when Abraham got saved. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness." Well, when God imputes righteousness upon your account, that's when you get saved. So he's talking about being saved. But works do not save us. And we'll deal with that just a little bit more. I think I said last time that salvation, we all believe this, teach this, preach this. Salvation is by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And we might say something like we're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. We don't do anything else in order to be saved. But it doesn't take anything less than faith. We're saved by grace through faith. That's what the Bible teaches us, and that's what we believe. But there are those that do not believe that. Not everybody believes that. And so there are people, there are churches that believe and they teach and they preach that you're saved by faith and works. Well, we don't believe that. But there are those that do believe that. For example, Catholicism. Now, Catholics, and I'm not anti-Catholic, I'm not throwing off on Catholic or Catholic people. I love Catholic people. And if a Catholic person ever wants to get saved, usually they make a very good Christian. But Catholicism is a works-based religion. They're doing something in order to hope to get to heaven. Well, actually, they don't even have that hope. They hope to get to purgatory, to get prayed into heaven by somebody else's good works. It's a very complicated system of works. I think there's 7 sacraments that a person has to have in their life. And then if at the very last breath, the priest can come along and give them last rites. I think that's sort of a bonus in getting to heaven one day. But it's based on works. It's not faith only. It's faith. If you ask them, do you believe? Well, yeah, I believe. But it's faith plus all these works. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And so we're going to see some of that tonight. Some Protestant churches, they mix faith and works. They'll say, well, we believe you in faith, but you also need to join the church, or you need to be baptized, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. Some of you are probably familiar with the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is actually pretty close. I would put it in the category of a cult even. They teach very strongly that you need to be, that in order to be saved, you must repent, believe, baptize. I mean, they've got about 7 things you need to do in order to be saved. And if you don't do those 7 things, you're not going to be saved and go to heaven. It's works based. When somebody says they believe that you're saved by faith, but you've got to stay saved, that's throwing works in on this thing of being saved. If you have to do something in order to be saved, well, you've got something to do with your salvation. And there's a lot of them, they believe that. Well, yeah, we believe you're saved by faith and believing upon Christ, but now you've got to keep your salvation. You've got to do enough good works, and I've heard it explained like this, that a lady said one time, she said, well, when I got saved, I got on the bicycle and started pedaling, and I've been pedaling ever since. What if you stop pedaling? What if you fall off? What if you wreck? What if you sin? And if nobody can ever tell you how much sin will cause you to lose your salvation, but they'll still come along and say, well, you can lose your salvation. Well, if you could lose it, how much sin could you get by with? There's just some things that, I mean, we're either saved by grace through faith or we're saved some other way. But we are saved by grace through faith. That is what the Bible teaches us. And then the other offshoots of Christianity, such as Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, that's all works-based. What they're trying to get to heaven by their works. We're not saved by our works, we're saved by grace through faith, but the Bible does talk about works. And James here talks about the part of works in our Christian life. Now, those that believe in faith plus works in order to be saved, they will go to the book of James. And they're going to like this scripture, and if you twist this, or if you do not take this in its proper context, you're going to get out of it that you're working in order to be saved, or that you have to have works in order to be saved. I've heard people quote James chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, where it said, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And I've heard the argument made, see there, faith without works is dead. You have to have works. That's what they say and that's what they teach. But what Paul teaches and what James is teaching is not in disagreement. But if you took it out of context, or if you, I could see where you might get that if you, first time you ever read through the Bible and you come across that. You might get the impression that works has something to do with our salvation, but that is not what the Bible teaches. Now, Paul teaches, we're saved by faith only, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, that's not your works, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. That's what the Bible says. Lest any man should boast. If we could get there by something that we did, then when we got to heaven, we'd brag about it. Or we'd brag about it here. Look what I did in order to get to heaven. The grace of God teaches that God gives us the gift of grace, and it's all of Him, not of us. Not of our works, lest any man should boast. And so, there's no reason to be confused about what the Bible says. And I want you to look in Romans chapter 4. And I want you to keep your place in James chapter number 2. And I believe that we can see it very simply what the Bible is teaching concerning faith and works. Works are important, but they do not save us. If we are saved, we will have works. But we're not saved by works. Now, James, he says, I said just a minute ago, Paul teaches by faith only. But here in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 24, it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So is that a contradiction in the Bible or just what is it teaching here? If we compare Romans chapter 4 and James chapter number 2, I do not believe it's confusing. I believe it makes itself plain. For example, Romans chapter 4. Now, he's talking in Romans chapter 4. Paul is talking about the same instance. He's talking about the life of Abraham. So they're both using Abraham as an example. Now, in Romans chapter number 4, let's just read a few verses here. Verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Now, I think it's worth underlining in the last part of verse number 2 where he says, but not before God. Romans chapter 4 is dealing with our standing before God, or this is how God sees it. Verse 3, he says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now that's found in Genesis chapter 15, and that's found in James chapter number 2, and that same verse is found in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If we could work our way in, it wouldn't be by the grace of God. We'd be paying off some kind of debt. So he's saying it's not by works, but if it was by works, it wouldn't be by grace. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Paul's making the case that we're saved by faith, by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our standing before God. Look at verse 16. The whole chapter, actually, you can read it and see he's making the case about being justified by faith. But verse 15, the Bible says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace. You understand that tonight? That's the grace of God. It's not by works. That it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Then look what it says. Before him whom he believed. There's that being before God. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And we could take a long time and deal in Romans chapter number 4, but he makes the case in Romans chapter number 4 that we're saved by faith. This is our standing before God. Now, James chapter number 2, now keep your place in Romans 4, but let's just go over to James chapter 2. Now, in James chapter number 2, things are worded differently. For example, in verse number 18, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In Romans chapter 4, the discussion is between us and God. But in James chapter number 2, he's discussing with another person, and he says, you show me, look what he says, I'll mess it up, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In James chapter number 2, the audience or the discussion is not between us and God, but in James chapter 2, it's between men. He's saying, show me your faith by your works. Look at verse number 22. Look what he says. Seest thou? This is an example. He's saying to somebody else, seest thou? Do you see these works? You see what I'm talking about? Seest thou? The key, I believe, is in verse number 24. He says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So James chapter number 2, it's talking about our works before men. Other people are just going to see our works. But our works do not save us. But we ought to have good works in our Christian life. Now, when you go back to Romans chapter number 4 and you read Romans chapter number 4, all that language of thee and thou is not found in Romans chapter number 4. In fact, Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then? This is a discussion about being saved by grace through faith. What shall we say then? The theme of James chapter number 2 could be, what shall we see then? We say we're saved. We ought to see. Other people ought to see that we're saved. And James is talking about what other people see. Seest thou? Seest thou? Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So James is talking about what we see in the life of others, and what does real faith look like? When we see faith in somebody, somebody says, I believe. Well, what does that look like? He gives two examples. He gives the example of Abraham, and he gives the example of Rahab. Abraham is verses 21 through 24, and Rahab is verse number 25. He gives one example of a man, one example of a woman. Abraham is a Hebrew. Abraham the Hebrew. His father or grandfather was named Heber. And the Jews didn't come along till Isaac. But Abraham's the father of all, so he's before the law. We're not saved by the law. We're saved by the law. How was Abraham saved? Because he didn't even have the law. He couldn't have been saved by the law. But a lot of people are trying to be saved by the law. Abraham is before the law. Rahab, she's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. Jews and Gentiles are both saved the same way, by grace, through faith. One doesn't get saved one way and one saved another way. And so in James chapter number 2, we'll start in verse number 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? That's the question. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, I know most of you are Bible readers and students tonight, and you probably already know that when Abraham offered Isaac his son upon the altar, that is all the way over in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham's been on the scene a long time by the time you get to Genesis chapter number 22. Verse number 2 says, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering." Now, if you study Genesis chapter number 22, there's a lot of work in Genesis chapter number 22. Abraham went through a lot just to get to that point where he stretched out his hand to slay his son, like God told him to. There's a lot of work. For example, we're not going to turn over there, but I just went through and tried to pick out the phrases that indicate that there is work to be done. Verses 3 through 9, the Bible said that Abram, he rose up early, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him. He had to clave the wood, the Bible says. He rose up and went. Then on the third day, do you know it took a 3-day journey to get to the place where he was supposed to go up on the mountain and sacrifice Isaac? Then on the third day, and he told the servants to stay there. He said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." Now, that's faith. He knew he was going, what he was going to do, or what he was going there to do, but he had faith already in his heart that they were coming back. And I believe that Abraham believed that he was going to actually kill Isaac, and that God would raise Isaac up and they would come again. That's what he went with a mind to do. He said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." Then the Bible says they took the wood. He laid it upon Isaac. By the way, Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ carrying the cross to Calvary. He's the one that had to carry the burden of our sins. He laid the wood upon Isaac. He took the fire and a knife, the Bible says. The Bible says they went both of them together. Verse 9 says they came to the place. Then it says Abraham built an altar there. There's a lot of work went on to get to this point. Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order upon the altar. He bound Isaac up, and then he laid Isaac upon the altar. Then verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." That's a lot of work to get to that point. And that is where James chapter 2 and verse 21, that is the point in Abraham's life that he mentions right here as an example in verse number 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up on the altar?" When Abraham did that, was that not the pinnacle of his life of faith? Of all the times that Abraham had believed God, don't you think that would have been the hardest thing that he ever done? Was to raise up his hand and his only son and getting ready to bring that knife down upon him and offer him there? That wasn't the beginning of Abraham's faith. That's the pinnacle of his faith. That's the height of his faith. I do not believe that Abraham ever had to do anything after that was as great as that moment when he held that knife up. And he's going to plunge it down into the heart of Isaac. Now, I don't believe anybody would make the case that and would say that's where Abraham believed. That's not where Abraham believed. He had believed a whole lot before then. I don't believe anybody would say that's where his works saved him. He had already proved time and time again that he believed God. That's not anywhere near the early part of his life. That's towards the end of his life. So that's not the point where Abraham was saved. Verse number 22, but it does prove something. It does point something out. And we'll get to that. See, verse 22 says, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect." That point was a highlight in a life of faith. And the point James is making is that real faith, saving faith, is an active faith. It produces good works. If we are saved by grace through faith, we're going to believe God. There's going to be evidence in our lives that we really believe the Lord. And it's not just going to be something we say with our lips, but it'll be provable by our life. Faith is active. It's not just sitting in a chair and saying, "I believe," but if we really believe and we're saved, that ought to stir us to action. There ought to be things in our life that point out that, yeah, we're men and women of faith. We believe what God says and we act upon it. We went to Grandfather Mountain last month, Dollar Days. You've already missed it. But we took a afternoon, me and Chloe and Abigail and Kim, and we went up there. And you know what you do at Grandfather Mountain, see the bears, get some fudge, walk across the bridge and come home. Well, we done all that. But every time I've ever been up there and there's anybody around, like there was school groups and things, if you go very much, you will always find somebody that will not walk across that bridge. They came that far. They came that far. And they might say, and they might, "Why would you go if you're not going to walk across the bridge?" That's the highlight of the whole thing. I've seen people do that over and over and over again. I mean, some of them kids came from Charlotte, Matthews, way off the mountain, took a whole lots of effort, lots of, but they'll get to that point and they'll see other people go across. There was a boy in front of me and he got right there and he stopped and his schoolmates is out there and they said, "Come on, come on." I told him, I said, "Come on, it'll be all right." And I went jumping across through there. I like to do like that and make it shake back and forth. I was hoping he'd get out there, but to go that far. To go that far. He could have said all the way, "I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm believing, I'm going to walk across that bridge." But he didn't have the faith to walk across that bridge. There's a lot of people in their life, I believe, but they've not even walked across a bridge. They've not. There's no evidence in their life that they believe. There ought to be evidence in our life that we believe God. So there's evidence. No, nobody would argue and say there's no evidence. In Abraham's life, James is just saying, look, there ought to be some evidence in your life that you're saved. That's the whole point of James chapter number 2. These things, faith ought to be visible. There ought to be works in our lives. Real faith, saving faith, active faith produces good works. It is visible. And if works are absent, then our faith is dead. That's what he said in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There's no works in our life. Well, look at verse 23. He said, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." That's Romans 4 and 2. That is also Genesis 15 and verse number 6. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Abraham believed God a long ways before Genesis chapter 22. When he believed God the first time, that's when Abraham got saved. Saved by faith. And he believed God in Genesis chapter 12. And he believed God in Genesis chapter 15. And he believed God in Genesis chapter 17. And he believed God in Genesis chapter number 22. And on and on and on we could go. If you believe God at the beginning, you'll believe God the next time. And the next time. And the next time. Say, and people, they come all the time, "I don't know if I'm saved or not. I can't remember. That's been so long ago. Did you ever believe God after that? Did God ever show himself evident in your life after you got saved? Maybe you didn't know a lot of the Bible. If you've been walking with Jesus. And so Abraham believed God, and he believed God, and he believed God. Every time he had a chance, he believed God. And so chapter number 15, I was studying again today. It's interesting, the ages of Abraham, you can find out how old he was along his journey. In chapter 12, verse 4, he's 75 years old. That's when God first spoke to him. In chapter 16, verse 16, he's 86 years old. In chapter 17, verse 1, he's 99 years old. In chapter 21, verse 5, he's 100 years old. That's when Isaac was born. In chapter 23 and verse number 1 is where Sarah died. When she died, she was 127 years old. Abraham was 10 years older than Sarah was. So in chapter 23 and verse number 1, Abraham is 137 years old. So between James chapter 2 and verse 21, and then we come down to verse number 23, there could be as many as 62 years difference there. So that's not talking about in verse number 21 when Abraham got saved. Abraham, the Bible said in verse 23, when did Abraham get saved? When the scripture was full, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. That's when Abraham got saved. Verse 24, he said again, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. I thought about it like this. I try to make things simple. And I think we ought to understand what this is saying. Verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We're talking about being justified before other men. What if you went to Genesis chapter 12, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God spoke to him, he believed God. But what if you took all those other works away? What if every time God spoke to Abraham after that, Abraham didn't act upon it? What if Abraham had never taken Isaac up and offered him like he did? What if he had never done? What if you took all of his works away? Could we stand here tonight with confidence and say Abraham was a saved man? Well, we could say he was, but we wouldn't have nothing to back it up. We'd say, well, yeah, he said he believed God, but he never done anything in his life to really prove it or show it, but sort of be like Lot. I guess that'd be the two extremes there. Abraham believed God every time he had a chance. We never see Lot ever believing God except when the angels threw him out of the city and told him to get out of there. So if you remove the works from Abraham's life, there's really no evidence about how we couldn't call him the father of faith. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Then we could say the same thing about Rahab. He gives the example of Rahab, verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. So there's an example of the faith of Rahab. And you remember when she sent the messengers away, they said, take a scarlet thread, put it in the window. That's the only way you're going to be saved. There's no way to be saved apart from that. What if she'd have said, well, I believe, but she wouldn't have put the thread in the window? Well, you wouldn't know anything about Rahab, would you? She'd have died with all the rest. So works, are works important? Yeah, there ought to be some evidence in our life that we believe what God says. And we follow what the Lord says, that is faith. A good example of that is after we're saved, we are told to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So that is an example. You believe what God said? Well, do it. Well, I've had people say, well, that just don't make any sense to me. I don't see the purpose in it. Well, you just don't believe God. There's a purpose in it. Well, do I have to go all the way under? Yeah, if I do it. I've had people say that. You going to put me all? Oh, yes. And if you make me mad, I'll hold you under. I would never do that. Well, I did that one time, but I asked for forgiveness. But it's a little boy, and he drove me nuts, and I just had a streak of... Kim's looking at me. She'll get... It was not here. You can't be too honest, I guess. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The body without the spirit is still a body, but it's a dead body. That body's not worth anything. That body's no good for anything. Just take out and be buried, that's all. Well, it's still a body, but it's not a body that's worth anything. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. True faith, here's the teaching of James chapter number 2. We're not saved by works, but true faith will be accompanied by good works in our life. That is why God saved us, to bring glory and honor unto Him. Ephesians 2:8-9, we say that all the time. By grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Quote that real quick. But verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you say you're saved, you say you believed, but when somebody else sees your life, do they see any evidence of that life of Christ in your life? They ought to. There's no contradiction between what James says and what Paul says. And so we'll close right there tonight. I appreciate the good word of God. And